What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. We are the co-experts over at thepewterplank.com, and make sure that you follow us along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at thepewterplank, at jyarko underscore bucks, and at dh82 underscore bucks. And we are joined tonight by a very, very special guest. He has a van, he has a dog, he has a blog, and he has a glorious, glorious beard, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Joe Holly. Joe, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it is our pleasure. Yeah, we're real excited to kind of dive into the next chapter in your life and kind of this documentation of your travels across the country and this blog that you're starting. Really excited to check that out. And you know, we thought it would be a great way to introduce Bucks fans who may not be aware of what you're doing. As to what you're doing. So, of course, you have the Man Van Dog blog. Can you go ahead and kind of tell everybody about what it is that you're doing and how this whole thing came about?
Yeah, so the Man Van Dog blog, the actual website and the blog and everything involved with it is actually still in the works. It's under construction. Actually came up with that idea just a couple months ago. The idea to travel across the country has kind of been floating around in my mind for a couple of years now. It's always been a dream, and I figured now's a good time, now that I'm done playing football. This year, last couple of years, actually, I started to realize that, my football career is coming to an end, sadly. I'm getting older. My body's kind of not what it used to be. The injuries started piling up. Middle of this year, obviously I wasn't playing as much. And so I started thinking about what I wanted to do. After the season, it came around and I always wanted to get involved in business. And I started thinking about what kind of job I could get into, what I wanted to do when I was done playing. And, I started getting really stressed out, as I was leaving football to leave the stress, and I started getting stressed out about what was next. And so I kind of took a step back and I did a little bit of soul searching. And I decided that this is a great opportunity for me to do what I've always wanted to do, and that is travel the country. And so on top of that, I decided that it'd be a great opportunity, the day and age that we live in now, access to information and the ability to share stuff. So I thought I'd take advantage of that and share my experience on the road with everybody. So I started up, bought a website, started this Man Van Dog blog so people could follow along on my journey, and hopefully I can inspire some people and motivate some people to go out there and explore the world on their own terms and live their life the way they want to.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, to be able to just pick up and check out everything that you've ever wanted to see, discover things that you didn't even know that you wanted to see. Is this going to be something where you're driving for 2 days at a time and then stopping somewhere for 2 or 3 days? Are the stops going to be quick? I mean, have you kind of planned out exactly how you're going to approach this endeavor that you're partaking in?
Man, to be completely honest with you, I haven't planned much of it out at all. I kind of know the general direction I'm going to head. I need to stay around the Southeast for the springtime because I got a couple weekend trips planned with either my buddies or commitments I've already made. So I'm going to stay around the Southeast. But once those commitments, probably around mid-May, I'm going to start heading north up the East Coast and just kind of stopping along the way. I don't want to plan it out too much because that would just add another element of trying to be somewhere and stressing out of making the schedule. So I'm just going to kind of wing it. I know I want to stay at a bunch of national parks and kind of camp in cool places. There's a couple stops along the way that I definitely want to make. I just decided that, a lot of people nowadays, they always want more. They're always looking for more. They always feel like there's a lack in their life. And I decided that I wanted to live with less and kind of live more with experiences and less with stuff. And so that's, part of the reason that motivated me to give away all my stuff to a charity, which actually tomorrow morning, Metropolitan Ministries is coming in to pick up my furniture. And they're they're donating it to surviving families of domestic violence that are trying to start over. So I'm really excited about that too.
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's such a cool, and Joe, that's really why we reached out to you. You know, I mean, obviously you have the Bucs connection. We're big fans. You know, I think you're a big fan favorite among the Buccaneers fan base. But this venture that you're taking on, this adventure that you're going to go on is really what drew us to you and kind of gave us the guts to kind of reach out to you, I think. It kind of reminds me, honestly, I don't know, I'm kind of a geek, but like a modern day Jack Kerouac on the road. I don't know if I'm alone on that, but that it really kind of reminds me of that, and it's really cool. Are you so Joe, just this is kind of off topic, but do you watch documentaries at all?
Yeah, I've watched a few.
Do you know who Morgan Spurlock is?
No, I do not.
He's the Super Size Me guy. I don't know if you've ever seen that one or heard
of that. I do know who that is.
Yeah, so I mean, so he also did a documentary that I actually had to study for a class project in college, and it was, I'm going to butcher the name, but I believe it was like The Greatest Documentary Ever Sold, which is basically about, like, his entire documentary was sold or was funded by advertisements. It was like brought to you by all this and everything else. It was crazy. It was awesome. I feel like this is like right up his alley. So I don't know, maybe if that's something you'd be interested in doing, like hooking up with him and just having him document your entire trip, that'd be all, like, I'd buy it. I know that.
One thing I've realized in this whole process of creating the actual the blog and the website and trying to get all the social medias together and the YouTube, and I hired a branding company to create a logo. I have a lot more respect for people that do this, because it's not easy. It's been a lot of work, you know, trying to learn the whole process. But it's kind of, I'm having a blast doing it. It's given me something kind of challenging. You know, football, I got so good at it, it kind of became monotonous and unfulfilling. So it's kind of nice to have something new that's challenging that I know I can get better at, because right now I'm not very good. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever tried to blog. I mean, I guess you guys are writers, but me trying to explain myself or like talk about my feelings on paper, it's very tough. And then putting yourself out there for people to see. But I'm excited to kind of let people see me grow in that area and kind of show people that if you do put your mind to something, you can get better at it. That's part of the reason I'm excited about sharing it as well.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I applaud you for it and wish you all the best of luck on your trip. And I know that James and I will be viewing it and reading it and sharing it as much as we can. So great. Great to that. Yeah, no problem, Joe. And you mentioned like some, you know, national attractions and stuff. Do you have like, I know you said you haven't made like a firm plan, but is there like a bucket list of items, like, or cities you want to see or places you want to go?
Yeah. Right off the top of my head, I definitely want to see Niagara Falls. I've never been there. Awesome. Mount Rushmore. There's a couple national parks, a lot of national parks that I want to see. Top of the list is probably Glacier National Park and Redwood National Park over on the West Coast. Really excited to see those. Plan on stopping in some big cities and, you know, getting away from the road. Cool thing is I kind of do what I want. So instead, you know, if I get tired of camping out by myself out in the forest, I can always go and, you know, get a hotel room in the city and kind of go out for a couple nights or go get a nice meal at a restaurant. I also plan on seeing a bunch of different baseball parks. I know baseball season's starting this week, and I'm actually really excited. I got my fantasy baseball draft on Thursday. Super juiced about that. I was actually just preparing. But I plan on going to a bunch of baseball games and seeing different teams in different parks. I think that'd be really cool. But, yeah, man, I haven't planned it out too much. I'm kind of just going with the flow. I want to see a bunch of family that I don't usually get to see, a bunch of friends that are all over, spread out across the country. And, you know, a good thing about doing this nowadays in this day and age is with social media, it's crazy how connected everybody is. And I've already actually met through Instagram different van life travelers, and I'm going to hook up with them and they're going to show me some of the ropes. And so the ability to kind of connect with people on the road is pretty amazing. So, if I was going to do this, this is the best time to do it, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome. I've actually seen that. I've been telling James about, I've been watching on Instagram and stuff and seeing people interact with you and you interact with them. It's just really cool, because I know you guys kind of live a life where, you know, it's I think it's kind of built into your profession being an NFL player. It's, I don't want to say standoffish, but, you know, you kind of have to kind of protect yourself, because a lot of people who try to interact with you are out for personal gain and stuff like that. So seeing you be able to reach out and connect with people on a different level has been really awesome. So switching up to, you know, more football stuff, obviously this is a football podcast. Were you surprised at all when your option didn't get picked up? Did you have like were you blindsided, or did you have kind of a notion that this was happening?
No, I mean, I kind of saw it coming. I mean, they gave me when they signed me back, they gave me a 2-year deal a 1-year deal, pretty much 2 1-year deals with the team option. So I knew they'd reevaluate after the season, and the way the season went, I obviously went into training camp competing with Allie, and I know they brought me back in to kind of mold Allie and kind of give him some confidence, changing positions from guard to center. And, you know, I thought he did a good job transitioning over, but, you know, I was left on the sidelines, and I kind of saw the writing on the wall, like what was going down. It was not a big surprise to me. And I don't, you know, even if they did pick me up, I don't think I was going to be able to play. My body's pretty beat up, and both my knees, I don't think there's no cartilage left in them. They grind constantly. So I was going to have some decisions to make anyway. So when they decided to not bring me back, there was no way I really want to go compete and try and make another team. It just seemed like a lot of work. You know, it comes to an end for everybody. And, you know, this is my time to move on to bigger and better things and go experience the world.
Now, kind of on a more positive note, as far as your football career is concerned. And real quick, I'll interject for your fantasy baseball draft. You want Mookie Betts.
That's the guy. We actually Mookie have Betts. A keeper league, and we keep 6 guys. So Mookie Betts is already on another team, but I'm pretty excited about my keepers. Got a pretty good squad.
All right. Well, then go for Andrew Benintendi.
Andrew, I'm a Red Sox fan. If you can't tell, my man. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, and Benintendi actually went to high school close to where I live, down in Cincinnati. So he's kind of a hometown favorite.
That's awesome.
But back to your playing career. Can you pick out kind of a favorite moment from the time when you were a member of the Atlanta Falcons and then also as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And it can be anything. It could be, you know, something that happened in a game, a conversation in a locker room, meeting a particular player for the first time. Just kind of, you know, when you look back, your favorite moment as a Falcon and your favorite moment as a Buccaneer, just to kind of give some fans some insight into what really you held dear as far as looking back upon your playing years.
Yeah. You know, a couple of things come to mind, a couple of moments, with the Falcons. The first one has to be the day I got drafted. It was a pretty surreal experience, you know, growing up, as a kid, it's kind of everybody's dream, to play in the NFL, but to hear your name called on draft day, it was something that was really special to me. Especially because when the whole draft process started, you know, they raked me as a late 7th round pick to a free agent. And so when Atlanta drafted me in the 4th round, it was, you know, kind of, I worked really hard throughout the process. I didn't even know I was going to get invited to the combine. I got invited to the combine. I impressed a lot of people. So to go that high when I was projected to go in a free agent 7th round was pretty special to me. Another big moment with the Falcons would probably be my first start. It was my second year. I remember it was September 11th, opening day, 2011, against Chicago in Soldier Field. And I remember the whole league did a moment of silence all at the same time. And they had a camera, like on the Jumbotron, the camera went between each different stadium, and it was all dead silent. It was really like, gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And then they had the Jets go over, and I don't think I've ever felt so nervous in my life, you know, playing my first NFL game or starting in my first NFL game. Going out there, that was a great experience. We ended up losing the game, but to be able to say that I had a start in the NFL was pretty surreal. As far as people meeting people when I first got in the NFL, the only person I've ever really, like, was starstruck over or, like, super, you know, fanboy about was playing with Tony Gonzalez. He was somebody that actually went to my one of my high school's rivals out in California, and so, you know, he's a big name around there, and he was playing in the NFL, and so kind of watched his career while I started playing football. So being able to make the league and then play with him was pretty amazing. I remember the first time I met him, he was like, "Man, it's my rookie year. You were in third grade." And I was like, it was pretty surreal that he played that long. That's pretty cool. As far as the Bucks, shoot, man, my favorite memory probably would be the first year I got here 3 years ago, riding on the plane rides back from away games, sitting next to Logan Mankins, because he's another guy that I looked up to playing, and one of the coolest guys out there. And to be able to hang out with him and kind of just talk about ball and shoot the shit, it was pretty cool that I had the opportunity to play with him his last year before he retired, because he's a class act, and I learned a lot from him with our time together.
Those are awesome memories, Joe. And I mean, it's cool to hear about, you know, obviously we're on this side of things and we didn't get to experience that side of things. So it's great to hear from you guys who got to live out those dreams. So great stuff. Even though it's a short time really, when you look at the grand scheme of things, but it's still just awesome experiences for you. So congratulations on an amazing career. The final football related question, I think we've got some more lighthearted stuff following this, is really, so you've had a chance to play with two, you know, pretty decent quarterbacks, right? Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston.
Yeah, very grateful for that.
Yeah, and Jameis is a guy, you know, very polarizing. I'm sure you've seen it or heard it, you know, around Bucks media, the fans and stuff like that. Like, there's some of us, right, Bucks fans out there who just, but like Jameis Winston, just all he's waiting for is the bus to be made, and he's into Canton. And then there's those of us who believe that, you know, the Bucs made a mistake, he's never going to fix these issues, da, 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 da. Let the fans know, like, what's the real story with Jameis? How do you see this unfolding?
The one thing I'll tell you about Jameis that I know, this is the reason I know he's going to be successful and hopefully win a championship, is he is the most competitive man I've ever played with. He literally is the first one in the building, last one to leave, and he wants to win so bad. And the reason you see the kind of the blow-ups on the field, or like at the end of last year, I think the Carolina game, when he was kind of losing his stuff on the sideline, that's because he wants to win so bad that he's so emotional about it, because he invests so much of his time. I'm telling you, he eats, drinks, sleeps football. Like in the off season, right when the season is over, he was getting ready for the next year when everybody else was leaving town. And he goes and trains with his guys, and he comes back in really good shape. He studies his tail off. He's really smart. But man, his drive and his competitiveness, you guys should not have to worry about him on the field. Now, last year, you know, talk about that, it was kind of unfortunate with his shoulder injury. I mean, the best thing that Jameis has is his deep ball accuracy. And so when his shoulder got hurt and he wasn't accurate with the deep ball, it kind of really, really hurt our offense. And you know, Dirk loves to open it up and let Jameis throw the ball deep. So without that ability, it kind of slowed everything down. So I think Jameis coming in with fully healthy and getting that deep ball accuracy back, I don't think you guys will have anything to worry about.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So we kind of opened this door. Forgive me, James. But
no, you're good.
I'm going to kind of pull this thread a little bit. Not too much, but there was a lot of hype going into last year, right? And we've covered that. We've had the honor of talking to guys like OJ Howard and Chris Godwin on the show, and you know, I don't necessarily want to rehash too much of, you know, the ensuing letdown, because we know you guys felt it just as much as any fan ever would. But this year, you know, there's been some moves made, and I'm not gonna lie, like, I kind of feel the hype coming back a little bit. I don't think it's gonna get to the level it did last year necessarily out of precaution, but who was it? I think it was Bailey James, right? Wrote an article for the Pewter Plank, basically saying, look, the roster, the team is not as bad as the record ended up last year. Do you believe that? And do you believe this team is, you know, kind of on the cusp of things, or I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, is a 5-win team really kind of what we're looking at?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, I think you look at the record last year, I think, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think there was like close to 6 or 7 games that we lost by a touchdown or less, mm-hmm. Which goes to show you, you know, how close we actually were. you know, as far as next year, man, I think the hype should be real, man. The record doesn't state how close we really were. We lost a lot of close games. Obviously, the really good teams, the championship level teams, learn how to win those close games, and that's what we need to do. But I'll tell you, the one big addition that I saw that really everybody should be really excited about is JPP. Because bringing him in here, I'll tell you what, as an offensive line on a team, and you're watching your defense out there, and they're not getting any pass rush, it's so frustrating, because as an offensive lineman, you know, we know how hard it is to block some of these D lines that are like really good. And so, you know, not having a guy on the edge that can really threaten the edge and make the quarterback step up into where Gerald's rushing and they can double team Gerald, that really like slows down our defense. So I think bringing in an edge rusher like that can dominate a game like he can is really going to help and change the entire complexities of the whole defense, which is going to help our team. So I think that one player, everybody should be really excited about that, because it's really going to help not only, you know, Gerald getting pressure on the inside, but the DBs in coverage. It's going to speed everything up, and it's going to allow the coaches to play with more confidence and, you know, be a little bit more aggressive.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think Bucks fans as a whole were incredibly excited to be able to land someone of JPP's caliber, especially when pass rush was such a need for this team this offseason. And now it opens up the draft, being able to add JPP and Bo Allen and Vinnie Curry. And now, you know, you're in a situation in the draft where you can focus on the secondary or running back or any of the other needs that the team may have. But Joe, we're going to kind of get away from football now. And well, I do have one question that pertains to the locker room, maybe not so much the football field. And then we're going to hit you with 10 completely random rapid fire questions in honor of one of my favorite people in sports, Katie Nolan. She used to do a thing called the Garbage 10 when she did a podcast, and just 10 silly fun questions. So she inspired that. But before we get to the rapid fire, I have to know, how did you handle the inevitable levels of jealousy of your teammates regarding your beard?
Man, I'll tell you what, man. They were, a lot of them were jealous. I heard it regularly, but I'll tell you who one guy I am jealous of was when we brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. Oh man, there was definitely some tension on who had the best beard. We ended up hashing it out. It was like a little awkward before we met each other, because we look at each other kind of out of the corner of our eye, like, who is this guy? Yeah, we finally introduced him. He's actually one of the coolest guys, one of my favorite guys I've ever played with. But his beard was phenomenal. So he kind of made me question myself a little bit. But I definitely think I still had the number one beard on the team, if not in the NFL, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying this because you're on the podcast, but I definitely would give you the edge over Fitzmagic in the beard category, because yeah, yours is one to marvel at, sir.
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed when Fitzy cut his beard last year in the middle of the season. It was like when he came into the building, it was like literally people were like walking by and like, who's this new guy?
Do you know why he did that? Like, I imagined it's something. My dad had a beard for a long time, and the first time I ever saw him shave it was because he was trimming it, messed up, and he's like, oh, and he had to just go with it. And
yeah, he'd get like gum in it or something.
Yeah, he just had to start from new. So, like, what happened with Fitz? Why did he shave his beard, you know?
I remember him. He was talking to me one day, and he's like, man, I think it's just time to – I think it was, you know, we lost a few games in a row, and he's like, I think it's time to just change up the mojo, man. He's like, okay. You should cut your beard with me. You should cut your beard with me. I was like, dude, I am not cutting my beard with you. And then the next day, he came in, and his beard was shaved, and he, like, it looked like – you could see in his face, like, he just regretted it so bad. He's like, dude, you got to shave your beard with me. Like, I just – that's not the same. I need you with me. I was like, dude, you made your bed. This is your fault.
All right. Well, Joe, let's go ahead and head over to the rapid fire section here and kind of get your opinion on some of these things and get some more insight into Joe Hawley, the person. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. What is your favorite movie?
Probably, I mean, there's a few, but I would say one of my favorites is Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. amazing.
Oh, that's a good one. All right. Yeah. Your,
blows your mind hole. Blows your mind hole.
What is your go-to pizza topping?
Oh, I love pepperoni with pineapple. A little sweet and savory.
Nice.
I don't know if I can do pineapple on a pizza.
Pineapple's not bad.
Dude, I have a little.
My dad loves it, and I just. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
I said I got a little sweet tooth, and it is delicious. I love pineapple on a pizza.
All right, I'll give it a try just for you.
Yeah, just give it a whirl. Just light on the pineapple. Light on the pineapple.
All right. Who is your all-time favorite superhero?
Oh, I would say Iron Man.
Nice.
Because he is just a straight G, and he's baby genius, and he can pretty much make whatever he wants. So badass.
All right. I'm not sure if you're aware that out there on social media, the big thing yesterday was that Wendy's dropped a mixtape. And seeing as how you're about to be on the road, people have to know, is it Wendy's or is it McDonald's?
Oh, man. Like, which one would I rather eat?
Yep.
Neither. I don't think I've had either of those in years.
Oh, wow.
I changed my diet. And I can't really eat fast food anymore. It's, I'd say 5 years ago, McDonald's.
Okay, that's fair. Well, you could always just stop at Wendy's for a Frosty or, you know, McDonald's ice cream machine's always broken, you can't do that.
McDonald's has the dang special. Have you ever had Coke in McDonald's?
Oh, yeah.
A special recipe or something? Oh, man, that'll change your life.
What is the greatest television show ever, in your opinion?
In my opinion, and I don't watch a lot of TV, and I haven't seen a lot of shows, but one that I have watched and I do absolutely love is How I Met Your Mother.
Yes. All right.
All time. I mean, what a well-written show. I mean, I love how stuff from season 2 is connected to season 5, and it's all intertwined. And it's just such a great story. I love it.
So do you know the episode where Marshall's dad dies?
Yes.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who knows this, but a guy read it on Facebook or something. So it may not even be true, to be honest with you. But so I read that I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy that plays Marshall didn't know the end of that episode until it happened. So you're seeing on the show is his actual reaction. So when he says, like, I'm not ready for this, like, he's legitimately not ready for his TV dad to pass away. And
wow.
I'm not gonna lie, when I watched it again after I read that, like, I got a little misty, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a real emotional episode for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, another thing that kind of goes back to your upcoming travels is, of course, you got to have the tunes. You got to have your Spotify playlist. What is the number one song when you put the van in drive and take off for the first time? What's the first song that you're blasting in that van?
Oh, man, that's not a fair question. First of all, I like listening to Pandora because I hate the stress of having to pick the next song. Cause, like, as soon as the song's coming to an end, you're like, dang, like, what's the next song going to be? It just adds all this stress. So I always hit the Pandora and let the radio tell me. But so what I'll do is I'll share my favorite Pandora station. How about that?
Okay, that'll work.
That'll work. Okay, I love listening to the Revivalist radio. You guys know who the Revivalists are?
I do not.
Nope, me neither.
Check them out. It's like an indie rock band. They're really good.
Okay. Yeah, my go-to Pandora is my Matchbox 20 channel because I've had it the longest. And I've got it so customized at this point that it is absolutely nothing like what Matchbox 20 radio should be.
It just knows you so well.
Pretty, it's all the thumbs ups and the thumbs downs and.
Yep.
Yeah, I am a big Pandora fan. So, what is your favorite holiday?
Probably 4th of July, America.
Love it.
Love it. Yeah.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Yes.
They're so user friendly, you know.
Win for Dave.
You broke my heart on that one.
Thank you, Joe. Favorite guest ever on the show.
That's one of those things that you're either one or the other. Like I don't even know how to use an Android. I've never even picked one up, so it's like I don't have an actual opinion. I haven't sat with both of them in front of me and like compared the two. I just know I use Apple, so that's what's going down.
That's fair.
To be fair, I just talk trash about Android because James uses it. I actually have no experience with it either. So
I'll tell you one thing about Android. I hate that the group text, the Android screw up everybody's group text. That's the worst. You can't like add people and delete people, and it comes up in a green bubble instead of the blue bubble, like all that. Get with the times.
I try. My times involve Samsung Galaxies. No free ads.
There you go.
There, something else you might have seen on Twitter is there has been a March Madness style bracket of Disney movies circulating.
Oh, wow. I need to check that out. Yeah.
And now there's multiples of them because the first one got such backlash. But we have to know, what is your all-time favorite Disney movie?
Oh, man.
And that can include like the Disney Pixar stuff, like the Toy Stories and the Cars and that. It doesn't have to be the 2D old school animation.
Man, there's so many of them. I can't even like think right now. Jeez. Man, can I pass on that? Like my mind is, you know, when you start thinking about too many things and it just goes blank.
Yeah.
Right now.
All right. All right, well then we'll go to the last one, and then if you think of a Disney one before we sign off, you can throw it out there. But the final question is, unfortunately, you are about to be put to death, but you get one final meal. What is it going to be? We need an entree, a dessert, and a beverage.
Entree, dessert, and a beverage. I'll tell you what, I love Chinese food. So we're probably going to do a little sesame chicken with some fried rice and some lo mein, maybe like a couple sushi rolls just because I'm being greedy. Dessert, probably some tiramisu. One of my old college buddies' mom, they're Italian, and she makes the meanest tiramisu. That'll be on there. And this is going to disappoint a lot of people because, I mean, it disappoints me more than anybody. I can't really drink beer anymore because I have my gluten allergies and it really screws my stomach up. And I've found that if I just don't drink it, I'll be fine. So I'll have like a 32 ounce cold one right on the side.
There you go. All right. Well, Joe, where can all of the fine folks around the internet find you and follow your journey here across the great United States?
I'm starting a website. It's going to be www.manbanddogblog.com. It's actually under construction right now, so be patient with it. You can follow me on Instagram at joehawley61, on Twitter at jhawley61. I'm starting a Facebook page, Man Van Dog Blog, and a YouTube channel, Man Van Dog Blog. So it's all going to be up pretty soon. I appreciate all the support and all the follows. You know, it's going to be a fun journey, and I'm excited to share it with everyone.
All right. Well, Joe, we appreciate so much some of your time tonight and coming on and talking to us about your journey and about your playing career and giving us some insight into the Buccaneers. So truly, thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys. And if you guys ever want to do where in the hell is Joe segment and catch up with me on the road, you just let me know, man. I'd love to call in. And even if it's during the season, we can talk about what's going on with the team. You guys just let me know.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Make sure you're following Joe's journey on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is the Joe Hawley 61, Twitter at Jay Hawley 61. And of course the manvandogblog.com once it's up and running. Of course, he said he has a YouTube channel, and make sure you're following along with everything that David and I are doing over at thepewterplank.com, and follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at the Pewter Plank, at J Yarko underscore Bucks, and at DH82 underscore Bucks. Starting Friday, we are going to have our draft series here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. We will have a guest on representing the Cleveland Browns as we begin our progressive mock draft. So make sure you check that out. Thanks to each and every one of you for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks. You know?